this. So, okay, let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. So this summer we've been going through a series on powerful prayers or great prayers or influential prayers in the Bible. And I get to basically finish off that series with the prayer of Jabez. And so it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. It goes 9 and 10. And then I'm going to read the Message version to give us a kind of a broader, maybe a little better understanding. So 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 to 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy right hand be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. Let me read you the Message version. It says, "Jabez was better man than his brothers, a man of honor. His mother had named him Jabez, oh, the pain, saying, 'A painful birth I bore him in great pain.' Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, 'Bless me, oh, bless me. Give me land, large tracts of land, and provide your personal protection, and don't let evil hurt me.' And God gave him what he asked." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. God, thank you for just bringing us back safely here to Hong Kong. God, we miss this place so much, Lord. And thank you for this church family, God, the way that you're just moving in the midst of us, Lord. We just want to celebrate that, God. And thank you for this service, Lord, for our kids and just for this time of worship. And now as we come to the Word, God, we ask you to speak to us through it, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We thank you. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. And so in context, this is a strange verse in many ways, and I'll explain that a little bit. If you remember, if you read 2 or 1 Chronicles before and after, this section is the section on the genealogies. This is probably kind of what turns most people off to reading the Bible. You know, we usually start off, and we start off well, and then we get to the genealogies, and we lose interest. And this passage is actually right in the midst of the genealogies of this guy begat this and begat this son and so on and so forth. And we know that the scriptures were written through inspiration, divine inspiration. It wasn't dictation. And that's why you have different points of view from different people. And so the authors here, as they were dictating or as they were being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write scripture, all of a sudden gets to this name. And then something just happens. It was a spontaneous reaction of God over this individual and this person. And so I think it's worth spending at least one Sunday to kind of unpack this. Well, we can tell from the text that his name, it's Jabez, actually the word means sorrow. So a couple different things. And I'll tell you what most scholars believe. A couple different things. One, that the mom had a really, really painful childbirth. And the painful childbirth was so bad that after it was over, it wasn't she was full of elation and joy. She just remembered the pain. Now, a lot of you ladies that are here, you can resonate with this. Us men, we have no space to speak about this whatsoever. But I do remember my mom. My eldest sister and then me and my brother. And when my mom had my sister, because back then they didn't know if it was a boy or girl until they came out. And when she came out and it was a girl, my mom said the first thought she had was not, "Oh, it's a girl." Her first thought was, "My poor daughter is going to have to go through this herself." That was the idea. That's how painful the childbirth was. So on one side, it was, husbands, please have some affection for your wives right now, right? And so on one side, it could have been that. It was such a traumatic childbirth. But most scholars believe it was the other part, which was he was born with some kind of deformity. He was born with some birth defect or something that not only made the delivery and the whole process painful, but made his life a little painful. And so this prayer in the scriptures is just composed of four parts. So I'll just share this with you, and then we'll kind of get into the meat of this. It's composed of four parts. The first part is Yabez, ask God to bless him. Brothers and sisters, it's not a crime. It's not false humility, or it's not shameful in any way to ask God to bless you. There's nothing wrong with that. You should be asking God to bless you all the time. Because he's a good father and he wants to bless you. That's a simple reality. So the first part of this, Yabez simply asks God to bless him. The second part with the blessing, and this is like how, it's kind of like, this is how you can bless me, God. And the second part, he asks God to enlarge his territory or increase his responsibility, or the what I used earlier in our prayer time, was actually to increase his influence. There was something, I mean, obviously this is talking about literal tracts of land. And so when he talks about territory, he is talking about land and space and real estate. But we know that it could speak to so a little bit more than that of what that land means. It means not only wealth, but it means influence, power, territory, so on and so forth. So he asked God to enlarge his territory, to increase his responsibility or to increase his influence. He prays that God would be with him and stay close to him. And so he says, Lord, can you just be close to me? You know, and again, this is, I think, an awesome prayer. And then the last part, part four, the last one here, is he asks that God keep him from harm so that he would be free from pain. And so that's why, again, most scholars believe that he was dealing with some health issues, some kind of birth defect or some kind of deformity as he's brought into this world. And so he's asking that he would be released from this pain in some way. Now, in Hebrew, the way that this prayer is expressed, it's actually in the form of a vow or request. Meaning, he's basically saying, Lord, if you bless me, if you give me this territory, if you do this, and then it's usually followed by, then I will do this. Unfortunately, the latter part is not recorded. And so we don't know exactly what Yabez was willing to offer up to God in for this, but this is the basic structure in the original language. Again, very, very common in this time. If you bless me, and then so on and so forth. And so even with that, it's not necessarily so wrong to say a typical kind of prayer. The only thing is, I hope you follow through with it. I think that's the important part. I've known many friends. I had one friend who's just had a really, really difficult time getting into a medical school. And I mean, really, it was tough for him. And so he just said, you know, Lord, if you get me into this medical school and I can become a doctor, and then when I finish, I'm going to go on so many missions and these things. And, you know, I saw him a little while ago, and he became a doctor. And so he got into med school and became a doctor. And so I asked him, how many medical mission trips have you been on, bro? And his face got all red. Because none, right? None. If you offer a vow before the Lord, right, God takes those things very seriously. And so if you have this kind of prayer and you offer this vow, when God fulfills it, make sure that you fulfill your own end. Amen? I mean, that kind of goes without saying. And so, I mean, it would have been nice to know what his end of the bargain was, but we don't know this. Again, as I mentioned before, the place of the prayer is quite quirky in its original form, right? It's written in the midst of these genealogies, and it seemed like the author was so inspired by Jabez that he begins to write this. Now, some of you guys maybe, or this prayer became very, very famous probably about 40 years, about 30 years ago, 40 years, probably 40 years ago. And there was a Bible teacher named Bruce Wilkinson, and he wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez. And it became a huge bestseller in the United States. But a lot of people really criticized the book. And what the commentary was, they said things like, this is what's wrong with American spirituality, right? This is what's wrong with American Christians. We're just always asking God to bless us. Now, with that said, I mean, you can agree on some level to that, but the reality is, it's a biblical prayer. I mean, what Jabez prays is totally biblical. I mean, not only is it in the Bible, but we see all over the scriptures how God does that, right? And so, and the reality, friends, is that, I mean, no matter what you think of American spirituality or whatever it may be, or the Bruce Wilkinson's book or whatever, the truth is God answered this prayer. So it must not be so bad. Right? It must be a pretty good prayer for God to honor and answer this prayer. And so let's just go through this. I have four simple points. Okay, looks like it's going to be a short message today, you know, at this pace. So I have four points. The first point, and number one, why is this prayer so important? Right, number one, Jabez understood that God was the source. He understood. He understood that when he prayed this, he knew that there was only one God, and he is the only one that actually lifts us up. Jabez realized it wasn't his own efforts, it wasn't his own strength, it wasn't his own authority. He prayed to the one who is able to lift him up. Right? The prayer of Jabez reminds us that everybody, a struggle that we each have, and I mean, this is a daily struggle, it reminds us, every single one of us, that we have a choice to make every single day, every single moment. We can choose to rely on God, or we can choose to rely on ourselves. We probably make these micro decisions every single day, so many throughout our day. And it comes down to, am I going to rely on God or am I going to rely on myself? And it's this whole idea of a God-centered life versus a self-centered life. And what life are we going to live? Are we going to make decisions and live life as if God is in control and God is in charge and God is the Lord of our life? Are we going to run our life in such a way that I'm in control, that I'm the boss, that I have the power to do all of these things? And that's the beauty of this prayer. One of the most important parts here is Jabez realized, Lord, everything comes from you. You are the source of all things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, in whom there's no change or shifting shadow. It all comes from him. And the prayer acknowledges this simple reality that, Lord, I'm going to depend on you. I'm not going to depend on myself. So why don't you turn to your neighbor, right? Say, hey, good looking. Just say, rely on God. Go ahead. And really, I mean, you've heard me say this so many times. And really, that is the heart of prayer. And you heard me say this so many times. The reason why we don't pray is not because we don't have time. I mean, that could be a part of it, but the real heart of the reason why we don't pray is self-sufficiency. We don't go to God. We don't ask God. We don't plead to the Lord because deep inside, we think we could do it ourselves. We're self-sufficient, self-centered. Life evolves around me. I can do it. I don't need God's help in this matter whatsoever. I've done this so many times. And it's amazing because the way you find out that really happens is you get into a situation, which you eventually will, where you can handle it, where it's above your pay grade, it's over your head, and it's at that moment that the Christian says, "Oh God, please help me." Because why? Because you just got out of self-sufficiency. You got into a situation where you can't handle it. And that's when you start to pray, right? So, I mean, it goes without saying, right? Yabez's prayer was a confession that God was the center of his life and he could be blessed by God's power. Brothers and sisters, the most humble thing you can do every morning when you wake up is go to the Lord. Go to the Lord, open up his word, pray. And when you do that, you're making an incredible statement. You're saying, "Lord, you are the Lord of my life, not me. And Lord, in all that I have to do today and all these things depend on your strength, not my competence." It's a statement, friends. Every single morning we wake up and we get to make a statement, not only to the Lord, but to ourselves. And we're saying, "God, you are the center." And so that's what it means. Yabez understood that God was the source. Well, he is the source. Number two, Yabez understood that God's heart is to bless those who seek him. And so he's not just there for a humbling act of going to God. He's praying with this assurance that, "God, you have the power to bless me." Let me read you this passage. This is Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13, about the generosity of God the Father. And he says, "So I say to you, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is a beautiful passage. He's saying that as earthly fathers, we know how to give simple good gifts to our kids. Remember that phrase, "How much more?" That's the very famous Jewish rabbinical argument, the Kalvomer. And it just simply says it's going from minor to major. In other words, if you being evil, you can give good gifts to your children, how much more the major will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, to his children that ask him? God wants to bless our lives. Listen, I'm not a prosperity preacher. I mean, hopefully you've been in this church long enough, you know, right? That's not what we're about. But the simple reality is, biblically speaking, the Bible is full of God wanting to bless his people. "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those hearts that are completely his." You know what that passage is telling us? It's telling us that even right now, God's looking all over this room. God's scanning this room, and he's just trying to find someone where he could bring the glories of heaven down on that person, the favor that he has in his hands, and he wants to bless his children, and he's scanning our hearts. And if he finds that you're trustworthy, oh man, get ready to get your socks blown off, you know? I mean, get ready to be blessed beyond belief. That's how God operates. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth that he may strongly support. He wants to come alongside and be a blessing to his children. All right, God wants to bless every life, but we must first make the choice to invite God into ours and ask for that blessing. Again, it's not prideful to say, Lord, will you bless me? It's not prideful to say, God, would you enlarge my territory? Would you give me more influence? It's not prideful to ask those things of the Lord. We'll get into the second part. As long as you're trustworthy before him. That's what he says. He wants to, but you gotta ask. Remember, James 4:2, this is one of my life verses. You do not have because you do not ask. It's so simple. You do not have because you do not ask. Brothers and sisters, just ask. The worst thing, someone could say no. Then you move on, you ask someone else. Right? It's such a simple way of looking at life. And Jabez, he wanted to succeed. He wanted to increase his sphere of influence for God. Right? The specific sphere, right, of influence is not important. Right? What's important is that we do it for him. There was something that was on Jabez's heart. God granted that to him, right? And the Lord blessed him. And then Jabez blessed the Lord with all of those things. And it's just an amazing way to go about it. I'll give you the verse. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Another reason why this prayer is important, number three, is Jabez understood God's heart is to protect his children. God's heart is to protect his children. Jabez clearly knows and prays specifically to the one who can protect him from evil and pain, which was God. All right? There's something so powerful in that. Many summers ago, the first summer, it was 1992, and I just became a Christian in April of 1992, and then I came to Hong Kong in May of 1992, and I ended up spending 3 months that summer, but originally it was just a five-week trip, and we're meant to come to Hong Kong, spend 2 weeks here, do a lot of basketball things, and then go to China for a week of basketball stuff, go to the Philippines for a week of basketball things, and then finish the week in Hong Kong the last week. Plans changed, and so we never made it to the Philippines, but we ended up spending 2 weeks in China instead, and that summer changed my life. It was amazing. I mean, you just think, just became a Christian, you know, born again, go on this mission trip, playing, you know, the sport that I love to play every single day of my life, you know, basketball, and you know, serving God through that, and just meeting so many amazing people throughout the time. Well, 1 week we were in China. And so I had my two roommates with me, and this is kind of a sad story now. My one roommate that was with me actually passed away 2 years ago, and so my friend Angel, and so they were with me in the room, and we had a really like weird experience that night. We ended up going to bed that night, and it's just. Like when you woke up in the morning, you felt like something funky happened. And I can only say my perspective. What happened for me is I was trying to fall asleep, and then I kind of woke up with, I felt like something was on top of me. I've never had any kind of these kind of spiritual experiences before, but I felt like something was on top of me, and something was actually poking me. And so I woke up. And then when I woke up, my friend Angel was on the bed right next to me, and he was wide awake, and he was just sweating, and we had air conditioning on, so it wasn't the humidity of the summer, and so he was sweating, and basically he was praying, and so I don't know if you believe in this kind of stuff. You should, because it's in the Bible. But I'm aware that we all come from different places. And so what happened with my friend Angel, what he says, a demon landed on him and was harassing him that night and woke him up. And so then he was praying because, you know, he's a seasoned Christian. He knows what to do. So he prayed, and then he, you know, in the name of Jesus. And so that demon left, and then he was kind of calm and relaxed. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, you got to pray for Sam next to you because that evil spirit is now attacking him. And that's when I woke up feeling something was on top of me. And so and thankfully my good friend was really praying. That's why he was sweating, right? I mean, he's really going after it. And we woke up that morning, and we just knew. I mean, I felt like something poking me, and my friend prayed, and you know, this spirit left, and we woke up. In the day, it's like, man, something weird happened. Like, I don't know what it was, but something is off. I've never had this kind of feeling. Like we had a spiritual experience in our room, and so. You know, I'm combing through the Bible. You know, we were learning to have quiet time during that time. And the day before, my other roommate, my friend Greg, he woke up in the morning, and he had his quiet time. And then he shared with us at breakfast. And he said this phrase, he goes, God spoke to me. And I was like, what? You know, it's like, who do you think you're, Moses or something? What do you mean God spoke to you? You know, who do you think you are, man? Remember, I'm this like baby Christian, so unaware of all these different things. And then he's like, yeah, God spoke to me through the word, and he read the scriptures, and I was like blown away. I was like, oh my gosh. It's as if God just wrote that right then and there. It was amazing. And so, I kid you not, this is my immature baby Christian phase. And this is literally what I did. I opened my Bible, and I talked to God. And I said, God, you spoke to Greg yesterday, and he's an idiot, you know? That's literally what I said. You know he's the biggest buffoon. If you can speak to him, surely you can speak to me. I mean, this is my pride, right? I didn't know how to pray back then. And so you spoke to, you know, the most idiotic person that I know. And if you can speak to him, God, surely you can speak to me. And so I combed through the Bible, and I'm passing through. And I've had many experiences since, but this is the first time. All of a sudden, it was like this light came out of the Bible, and I got to Psalm 91. And if you know, Psalm 91 is the psalm of protection, right? It's the whole psalm, the whole thing is about being protected. You know, and remember, he will give his angels charge concerning you. You know, and he will gird you under his wings. And then there's a phrase in there, and it says, evil will not befall, you know, will not come on your tent. And even though his flaming darts, his missiles would come. And I was just reflecting on that. My bed was a tent because we had a mosquito net over our bed. And I felt those darts or these missiles, you know, these arrows coming after me. And the word said, told us that we should not fear any evil because he will protect us. And I was blown away. It is the prayer of protection. It was like a huge thing for me. It's like, oh my gosh. And I told all my friends, hey guys, you'd never believe what happened, but God spoke to me. I'm like Moses, man, right? God spoke. It was the coolest thing ever. But then, you know what happens is, as the day wore on, I was like, oh, God didn't speak to me. That's just a wild coincidence. Right? I mean, who do I think I am? Do I think I'm Moses or something? This is ridiculous. God doesn't speak to, you know, God doesn't speak to people. That's a crazy thought. We go to lunch, and we had a girls' basketball team with us as well that on this trip. We go to lunch, and afterwards, one of my good friends, Steve, is probably the most mature guy on our team. He came up to me and says, "Hey, Sam, I heard God spoke to you." I said, "Oh," and I was like, "Yeah, I don't think so." You know, I don't think God does that. I think I just got lucky. It's just one of those things. And he looked and he goes, no, man, God spoke to you. And I said, how do you know? Because you know that morning, something happened in the girls' room as well. They had a demonic attack that morning or that night. And then they woke up in the morning, and Dana was one of the girls on our team, you know, and Dana got a word from the Lord, you know, and he goes, you know what word that was? I said, Psalm 91. And he goes, yes. Wow, dude, it's like unbelievable. And that's actually the beginning of this whole journey of hearing God's voice, which is a huge part of our church culture, of just simply hearing God's voice. On this trip, I had so many really great memories, but I'll share one, and he's probably listening to it right now. I ran into an old high school student of mine. I haven't seen him in over 30-some years. And so he was in my youth group. He was actually a gangster. He was in a gang. Actually, his friend got shot and murdered in front of him. So his mom shipped him to Korea, or his grandma shipped him to Korea, and he came back. He had some of his friends went to prison and all these things. So he's like, but a gangster. But, man, he got radically saved in our youth group. And God just wrecked him. And we kind of lost touch with each other because you know, and then I left the youth group and I went on, did other things, you know, at Vanguard and different things. And he just kind of like, just kind of left the church. And he's just, you know, doing his life. And he got his act together. He became an architect. And now he constructs houses. He's actually building homes in Altadena, which is one of the communities where they had the big fire. Remember Malibu, Altadena, during that a couple years ago? And so he's helping these people because a lot of these guys are getting ripped off by these contractors. So he's kind of come in and helping them. So he's doing a lot of good things with his life. He's got a daughter who's 7. 5 years ago, his daughter was diagnosed with a brain cancer. She had a brain tumor. And that kind of woke him up. And so, and all these people just started, Christians started coming around him and praying for them. And it just really moved his heart. So he went back to church. So he went back to his parents' church, the Korean church. And he was going there. And he tells me this story. He says he would go to Korean church because he didn't know where else to go. But then after, because if you guys grew up in Korean church, or more in Asian churches, you go to church, and then you go to service, and then you go to the fellowship hall and you eat, you know, kukbap, right? Just like rice and kimchi. It's like the best meal of the week. And so so he grew up doing that. But when the family is eating, he would go in the car because he's so hungry. He's like, there must be more. And so he says one day he like just had this thought of like, oh, I remember Sam. And I really like Sam, you know. And so I wonder what he's doing. And so he Googled me. And he found Solomon's Porch. And so every Sunday, he'd go to service, and then he'd go into his car, turn on the air conditioning, and he'd listen to the sermon, you know, on Sunday. And he started kind of following us all this time. Long story short, he ends up going to this church that I had preached at 2 years ago. And so he meets some people, and so then he finds out that I'm in town. And so we get together, you know, the grace of God. He's a member of a country club, so we end up playing golf. I mean, don't tell me God's not good. Come on, people, right? God is so good. And so, but I mean, long story short, get to this part, and he says, you know, the one thing that you taught us that just doesn't leave me is a simple idea to hear God's voice, right? Just this simple, just to hear God, expect God's going to speak, to listen to him, and then to simply obey him. And he says, and that's never really left his heart during that time. You know, and the beginnings of all that was well, not here, but in China, in Guangzhou, in 1992. But is this idea of protection. That's what Psalm 91 is all about, the protection of God. And God's there to do that for us. You know, as a father, my heart is to protect my children, my family. I can't imagine how much more that's God's heart. I pity the fool, right, that messes with my kids, man, right? I pity the fool that messes with my wife or my family. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm going to be Christian, you know. But, you know, we can't ask for forgiveness, right? So I'm just kidding. Okay, forget it. But it's a simple reality. You think about this. Our heart is to protect them. How much more is our Father? But how much more is our God? And that's what Jabez asks for, and God honors his prayer. Now, let me go to the last point here, which is an important point. And it's the simple question we ask, why would God honor his prayer? Why would God honor his prayer? Well, the answer is in the first line of that verse. It says, Jabez was an honorable man, more so than his brothers. And so we don't really know the backstory. I think, like, this would be a really good movie or something if we unearth exactly what's going on. But the word honor that's used in this passage, it implies a person who is treated with respect by the community. And you know, so thus, even before the prayer, Jabez experienced the blessing of being a respected member of his community. There's something about having a good name. It's something, right? It's something when you meet with people and even this whole summer was like that. By the grace of God, man, our church has such a good name. I meet with people and they'll ask me, I pastor a church called Solomon's Porch. Oh, Solomon's Porch, I heard of you guys. And just very favorable things. You know, there's something about having a good name. There's something about living honorably in this way. And Jabez, even though he grew up in difficult circumstances, and like I said, many scholars believe he was physically handicapped in some way, he still displayed honor. Seemingly, he still honored God through all of these things. You know, at best, he carried a name that had a negative connotation, and he overcame it. Can you imagine naming your kid Sorrow? Right? You know, here's my son. His name is Sadness. And here's my daughter. Her name is Sorrow. I mean, like, who does that, you know? But he has this name, but he overcomes. He overcomes, and he honors God. And the community recognizes that honor, and they honor him. It's amazing, right? Jabez lived life in such a way that whatever obstacles or handicaps that he had, he overcame, and he gained the respect of his community. There was something, right? Why was Jabez able to ask such a lofty request? You know why? He could pray such an audacious prayer because he was faithful. It's simple. He was faithful. He understood. Jesus said this in Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Listen, I know many of us, we're asking God to bless our careers, and you should, you know, bless our finances and get promotions and all these things. Can I ask you a question? With what you have right now, are you tithing? Are you generous? Are you faithful? Are you obeying the overtures of the Spirit when he senses that he wants you to give? I mean, how ridiculous would it be to ask God to increase us, or to increase our pocketbooks and all these things when we're not faithful with even what we have right now, right? Some of us are not tithing or any of these things. I think there's something. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Later on, in Luke 19:17, Jesus said, and through his parable, and he said to him, "Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be an authority over 10 cities. In other words, God trusted that steward. Does God, or I should maybe ask it a different way, can God trust you with his riches? Have you been faithful with the little things? All right, the bottom line is God trusted Jabez. And Jabez can pray this incredible prayer. Can God trust you? And can God trust me? Right? To pray the prayer of Jabez without a track record of faithfulness is to pray in vain. Brothers and sisters, I'll end the sermon in this way. Can you be trusted with the riches of God? Let's close our eyes. Let me invite the worship team to come. He who is faithful in a little thing is also faithful in much. What I love about that passage is so simple. I just got to be faithful in the little things. I don't have to worry about the big things. Lord, just help me to be faithful in the little things. Just to be quick to obey you. Lord, be quick to be generous. Quick to listen to the overtures of the Spirit in my life. That's how we become honorable before the Lord. That's when we can start praying audacious prayers. Lord, enlarge our influence. Enlarge our territories. Lord, give us big kids, God. Not in size, but in character and heart. Let's pray this prayer over our life. Say, Lord, bless me. Enlarge my territories, my boundaries. But even more than that, God, help me to be faithful. Help me to be honorable before you. As the worship team leads us in a song, I just want to encourage you to go before the Lord. Just talk to him about this.
Lord, I need you. My God, how I need you. So teach my song. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope, and so teach my song. So teach my song to rise to you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, we need you. Oh, we need you. Every hour we need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how we need you.
Can we do this? Can you just grab someone's hand and go across the aisle? I want you to pray the prayer Yabez over the person on the left and right of you. I think it's an important prayer. It's a powerful prayer. Pray that there will be an honorable person. Pray that God would bless them, that God would enlarge their influence, and that God would be with them and protect them. Let's pray. Let's lift up each other right now before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you, God. Lord, we just want to pray this prayer over our whole church family, God, over our kids, over our parents, God. Lord, we pray, God, that we would be honorable people, Lord. Now, we pray that you would come and bless us, God. Lord, that we would reflect that blessing back to you and to others around us, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would enlarge our influence, enlarge our boundaries, our territories, God. We pray, God, that you would be with us, Lord, and that you would protect us from harm. Lord, this is the prayer that we pray today and every day, God. Would you come and be the center of our lives, Lord? We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't you greet your neighbor and say, thanks for praying for me. We're going to pray for you this week. Please enjoy some refreshments. Have an awesome rest of your Sabbath day. God bless you.